Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivisesha Sunyavadi Paskatya Deshatarane. So, by the kindness and support of so many devotees, today I'm trying to make this offering for the devotees and Srila Prabhupada of reading some of a summaries of this play by Srila Rupa Goswami known as Lalita Madhava. Before beginning this particular drama, I would like to speak a little bit from the Chaitanya Chaitamrita on this subject. In the first chapter of the Antya Leela, the final section of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, there is a very wonderful exchange that takes place between Lord Chaitanya and two very, very, very expert playwrights. One is Srila Rupa Goswami, who is the author of this Lalita Madhava, and the other one is Srila Ramananda Roy. For those who have read and studied the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, they will know that Ramananda Roy was the one who Lord Chaitanya spoke with when he went to South India. And he asked Ramananda Roy many questions. And Ramananda Roy said, just like a rain cloud comes from the ocean, similarly, many conclusive truths came from the mouth of Srila Ramananda Roy in a philosophical sense. Now Srila Rupa Goswami is going to present these in the form of a drama. So when Rupa Goswami and Srila Ramananda Roy were speaking together in this chapter of the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Rupa Goswami was asked many questions. He was examined. His work was examined. And he was examined by other experts such as Ramananda Roy. And the result was that everybody came to the same conclusion that the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami is of a superlative quality. Now, this subject matter of Lalita Madhava that I'm going to try and hope to be able to present is presented in 10 acts. It's a very large play. And first I would like to ask us, myself included, what is our qualification? How do we actually listen to this particular leela? So Srila Prabhupada himself, he tells us that unless one is favored by Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, there is no need to even go to Vrindavan. For unless one's mind is purified, he cannot see Vrindavan, even if he goes there. Actually, Prabhupada says, going to Vrindavan involves taking shelter of the six Goswamis by reading Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vadagdha Madhava, which is another play by Srila Rupa Goswami, Lalita Madhava, and the other books that they have given. He also says, in the material world, there are four objects of view. How I can eat, how I can sleep, how I can mate, and how I can defend. So as soon as one is purified of all material desires, these objects will not be a problem. Then we shall be able to understand what is Vrindavan. And the next stage is that one has to understand what is the loving affairs, the conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna. This will be possible only if we carefully study the books left by the six Goswamis. So these are some important words of direction for us, because we are about to hear from Srila Rupa Goswami. And we might ask the question, so who is Srila Rupa Goswami? What is his position? So, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he speaks about this in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, saying that Srila Rupa Goswami, Vaidagdha Madhava Lalita Madhava Nataka Jugal Krishna Leela Rasa Tattva Paya Sakal. Srila Rupa Goswami compiled two important dramas from which one can understand all the mellows derived from the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And finally, we can hear the prayer of Srila Rupa Goswami. He prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "If you would please manifest yourself in my heart and personally direct me in writing this book, then although I am low-born, I may hope to be able to write. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead yourself, and whatever you direct is perfect." So through the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami was able to write this book perfectly. Now, one reason why I'm giving you this introduction before we begin is I also want to accompany it with a little warning that this particular drama is extremely mysterious. So if you try, this is going to be Krishna's Dwarka pastimes. If you try, you know, sometimes you can say, if, then. You give a possible thing you might like to do, what will be the result? If you try to analyze this story with reference to the Srimad Bhagavatam's account of Krishna's Dwarka Leela pastimes, then you will become very confused. So it's very important to understand the authenticity of the author and the presentation, because it is a very mysterious play. And here's a positive. If you listen simply accepting the greatness of Srila Rupa Goswami, then the play will be possible for you to enjoy this drama. So even though the subtle mysteries of this pastime may remain very much beyond our capacity to understand, still the beauty of Rupa Goswami's presentation is available to us to be appreciated even now. So the play is about to begin. There is a certain style that Srila Ramananda Roy was asking Rupa Goswami about in his presentation. And that is that in the beginning of this particular drama, in a very formal classical way, is called the prastavana, or the introduction, where the stage manager comes in and he introduces to the audience many aspects of the play. So the play begins with the entrance of the stage manager. And first there is a glorification of Krishna's glories. And then there is a glorification of Krishna himself. Then the stage manager begins by introducing the play and telling how he came to write it. At the same time, he seeks the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. He asks the question why he has become so bold as to write this extraordinary drama. And he answers the question that this is on the order of his superiors. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished that this play should be written. Then he asks, who is the audience who have come here to hear this play? And he replies that the audience are very exalted personalities, all filled with very good qualities. He explains that he has written this play after a dream that he had from Lord Shiva, who told him that he should write the play. And he said, "I am presenting this play on the bank of Radhakund, on Diwali. And it is for the press. I'm very eager to present this and seek the blessings of all the exalted personalities who are present." Then he says, "So who am I?" He says, "I am foolish Srila Rupa Goswami. And today I take shelter of those who have taken shelter of Krishna by resting on the mercy of such great souls, such personalities as yourselves, I shall become free of fear. Next he calls the elderly queen of actresses, Nati, and invites her to come onto the stage. So she enters, and when she enters, the first thing that she says, now she will speak in a very cryptic way, and she introduces many elements of the drama. So the first thing she says in a very concerned way is that she's not actually eager to perform this play. And then she speaks very mysteriously. She tells a little story. After she is pacified by the stage director that she should perform the play, then she expresses that actually she's very much worried because she has a son. His name is Kalanidhi, and he's very, very attractive. And she is very anxious to have him married to a certain beautiful girl whose name is Tara. She tells that there is one king who desires to marry this girl and wants to take Kalanidhi to his capital and defeat him. The Shutadhara, the stage manager, he listens to this story that she is telling. And he pretends to know about astrology. And he says, let me think. I will think about this situation. And then after a moment of thought, he tells Nati, do not be worried. At the proper time, Kalanidhi will accept the hand of your daughter-in-law, Tara. Meanwhile, as this conversation is taking place, from behind the scenes comes a voice, and this voice is Purnamasi. Purnamasi, of course, is Yogamaya, and Purnamasi is behind all the mysterious workings of Krishna's pastimes, because she is Krishna's spiritual energy that makes all the arrangements so things occur. So Purnamasi, from behind the scenes, she is very happy. She says, I am very happy because by hearing this little story, a certain person has told this story because they are unable to directly announce the marriage of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, they're telling this in this veiled way. So by this little trick, I, who am full of anxiety, have now become comforted. Then the Shutadhara, the stage manager, he sees, he hears, this is Purnamasi. She is coming. So he glorifies Purnamasi as the disciple of Narada Muni and the mother of Sandipani Muni, who later will become Krishna's teacher. And he says to the Nati, the actress, let us go now. We will hide now and we will see what happens. So they exit from the stage. Scene 1. Purnamasi arrives with her friend Gagi. Now Gagi is younger than Purnamasi and she's the daughter of Gagamuni. So Gagamuni's daughter Gagi and Purnamasi are talking about the marriage of Radharani with Abhimanyu. Gagi asks Purnamasi, why did you arrange for Radharani to marry Abhimanyu? And Purnamasi says, it is only an illusion. No ordinary man can marry Srimati Radharani. And now this is the very mysterious beginning to this play. She explains an extraordinary course of events, how the gopis appear in Vrindavan. She says that Chandravali is the daughter of King Chandrabanu, who's the brother of Maharaj Brishabanu. And Radha, of course, is the daughter of Brishabanu Maharaj. But somehow or another, by Yogamaya, they were removed from the wombs of their mothers, and they were placed in the womb of Mount Vindhya's wife. So then the question can be asked, why? She explains that when Mount Vindhya, which is a large mountain range, saw the good fortune of the Himalaya mountains, who had Parvati Mount Himalaya had Parvati as a daughter. Mount Vindhya also wanted a wonderful daughter and worshipped Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma made an arrangement. He blessed Mount Vindhya that he would have two daughters, two beautiful girls. And thus two girls were born, Chandravali and Radha. And after these two girls were born, Gargi asks, then how did Radha get to Vrindavan? This is very mysterious. Then Purnamasi explains how the gopis arrived in Vrindavan. Putana was told by the demigoddess. We remember when when the demigoddess was about to be killed by Kamsa, she flew up in the sky and she said to Kamsa, "You rascal, how can you kill me? The child who will kill you is already born." According to Purnamasi, she also told him that eight beautiful girls, as well as two extraordinary sisters, have also been born elsewhere. And then Kamsa decided he wanted to find out where these girls were. He was very interested. So he sent Putana here and there, and he told Putana, do two things. Kill any little boys and kidnap any little girls. So Putana came, and she came to Mount Vindhya. She saw these young girls, beautiful young girls, and she kidnapped them. And when she was flying in the sky towards Vrindavan, she dropped one of these beautiful girls into the river. And this little girl was found by the king of Vidarbha. This is the father of Rukmini. And this child that was found by Maharaj Vidarbha was later on kidnapped by Jambavan, who took that child and brought that child to Vrindavan, that is Chandravali. The other girls were kidnapped by Putana directly, and when Putana was killed, all these young girls were given to different gopis in Vrindavan, who brought them up as their own children. Now this is very mysterious. I must warn you right now that Rupa Goswami is weaving this tale, so please do not get confused in the sense that thinking, is this actually how Radha appears in this world? But in this particular pastime, this is what he is describing. So then, Gargi is thinking to herself something very esoteric. She's thinking that, I have heard from my father, Gargamuni, that although the gopis and the queens, gopis in Vrindavan and the queens in Dwarka, they are expansions of the same potency, still, they're separate and distinct. In other words, Radha is here, Satyabhama is here, Rukmini is here, Chandravali is here. But Gargi is thinking and she says, now it is said that with the aid of Yogamaya, each one of the gopis is identical with a specific queen. Each pair, the gopi and the queen, is a single person in a single form. Then she thinks to herself, because this is very mysterious, too mysterious certainly for us to understand, too mysterious for her to understand. She says, later perhaps I will understand this confidential, mysterious subject matter. Now then Purnamasi, who is explaining all these details at the beginning of the play, she points out how over 16,108 girls in Vrindavan are all deeply in love with Krishna. And Katyayani Devi has told them, they have all gone to Katyayani Devi and prayed, please make Krishna our husband. And Katyayani Devi has promised them, Krishna will become your husband. She also points out how she has made this arrangement that Radharani appears to be married, Chandravali appears to be married, and that their mother-in-laws make so many obstacles to the meetings of Radha and Krishna. She says she has made these obstacles and arrangements out of fear of Kamsa and his followers, who are always roaming about. And only two people know the mystery of all of these things. She says, I have told Yasoda Devi and Rohini Devi. They both know, but nobody else understands this. Meanwhile, as they are talking, from behind the scenes, there is a lot of excitement. You can hear the gopis talking to each other, the young girls of Vrindavan, because it is coming just about the time that Krishna is going to return from the forest. So they're getting very, very excited, and they're talking to each other, and they're calling each other and saying, quickly, comb your hair, get out of bed, get ready. Look, the dust from the Sarabi cows has entered on the horizon. Krishna is soon coming. Then there are very many beautiful verses that are written by Srila Rupa Goswami describing the beauty of Krishna as he's returning home to Vrindavan. And Purnamasi looks to see where all the gopis are gathering together. And she also sees the signs that Krishna is returning from the pasturing ground, and she glorifies the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. Then again the voices come from behind, off stage. And the girls again are very excited. One girl is saying, you haven't put on your mascara. Another one says, you put your armlets on your ankles. Another one said, look, your belt isn't tied on. Another one says, you just put tilak on your cheek. And another one says, look, you put the red that you're supposed to put on your feet. You put it on your eyes. Because they're all panicking because they're so anxious to see Krishna. And they say, don't run outside so quickly, because Krishna's sweet-sounding flute is still very far away. So, hearing all of this excitement, Purnamasi decides that she will go and find Yasoda Mayi and wait to see Krishna when he returns. So she leaves and goes off the stage. Meanwhile, Krishna enters, looking very beautiful, with Madhu Mangal and Balaram. And they're noticing so many things. Krishna says, look, you see that the Sarabi cows have lost interest in eating the abundant thick grasses. And now they're moving their heads and their necks and their beautiful eyes, longing to return to Vrindavan. They notice how the cows take a few steps, and then they turn back and they look back at Krishna in anxiety, because they have more love for Krishna even than for their calves. They see Krishna, who is dearer to them even than anything else. Then Krishna notices that the sun up in the sky is slowly, slowly, slowly setting. And he sees that the sun now, it's resting on top of a banyan tree. And then he comments how now the sun is resting on the horizon. So the sun is slowly setting. And then Balaram, understanding the nature of the situation, he calls all the boys and he says, let us go and have a quick dip in the Jamuna, and then we shall return to Gokul. So the boys all leave, and Balaram leaves. And now Krishna looks around, and he sees the moon on the other side, which is beginning to rise in the sky. He points to the moon and glorifies the moon that is rising in the sky, and just like we will throw a cluster of flowers, so the stars are like a sprinkle of flowers that has come to glorify the beauty of the moon. And meanwhile, Madhu Mangal, he's looking left and right, and he says, yes, this is true, but you should see the moons, the beautiful golden moons that are hiding within the vines. And he is speaking of all the gopis who have now by this time very anxiously come out from their homes, and very shyly they are hiding here and there in the vines of Vrindavan, anxious to get a glimpse of Krishna. As Krishna looks here and there, he says, yes, actually these moons are quite more beautiful even than that moon in the sky. Then they begin to walk. And as they're walking along on their way to Gokul, back to the village, Krishna's looking left and right, and he's hearing the sounds of the different gopis. Someone is playing a flute. Someone is playing a veena. Somebody, he can hear their ankle bells or their bangles tinkling. and some of them he can see. And then he suddenly wants to know, where is Chandravali? And just as he's thinking, where is Chandravali, his cousin Kundalata arrives. And she comes in and she says, I have come and I'm bringing to meet you, I'm bringing Chandravali. So Chandravali, as we know, Radha and Chandravali are the two primary gopis. And Chandravali is very self-controlled. She is very intelligent. She can keep herself very calm even when she's angry, when Krishna upsets her in some way. Whereas Srimati Radharani, she is much more fiery. She becomes angry at Krishna if he says something or he makes some joke. And her friends also will get very angry with Krishna if he somehow or other makes some joke or teases her. So Chandravali comes in with Kundalata, and Chandravali also has a friend called Padma. And Padma's a little fiery as well on behalf of Chandravali. And Krishna, he starts to play and joke and talk to Chandravali, and Chandravali is a little reserved. Then all of a sudden, just as Chandravali is starting to become a little more relaxed, Krishna makes a great blunder. And he's about to say something very warm and sweet to Chandravali, and he says, you know, when you are not with me, loneliness never touches my heart, because the beautiful Radha, I beg your pardon, arises. And then he says, what I really meant to say was, when you're not with me, Radha never touches my heart, because I have so much and he starts to try to get himself out of this little dilemma. And Chandravali looks very cold at him and says, I understand what you really meant. And just then there's a great noise from offstage, and Chandravali goes, oh, that's my mother-in-law, I must go. So quickly Chandravali leaves. And after she leaves, Krishna says to Madha Mangal, I think you're right. I think Radha is more beautiful than her. Then in comes Mother Yasoda and all the elderly ladies, because Krishna's just arriving back in the afternoon from tending the cows. Purnamasi is there. Rohini is there. And they all are looking at Krishna with great maternal affection. Rohini and Yasoda are having this little conversation, sometimes as mothers will do, about how wonderful Krishna is, but also how there's one girl who's so wonderful also. And it would be so nice if Krishna and this beautiful girl, this exquisite beautiful girl, could be married to each other. And they're thinking in this way. And Purnamasi tells her, actually everybody in Vrindavan feels this way. But she warns Yasoda that Jyotila, Radharani's mother-in-law, is very suspicious of Krishna. And Yasoda asks in a very innocent way, why is she suspicious of my son? He's so innocent. He's just a baby. And then Krishna comes in, and he begins immediately to act out of love for Yasoda, just like a little boy. Rohini immediately offers aarti to him with a beautiful golden ghee lamp. And then she tells him, embrace your dear mother. She's been waiting anxiously to see you throughout the day. So Krishna begins to play with Mother Yasoda. Mother, please put this ornament on my head. And he sits on her lap and he acts just like he's a tiny, tiny boy. And she becomes very happy and she lovingly embraces him and begins to cry and cry and cry. And the milk from her breasts are pouring out and giving him this beautiful abhishek. And meanwhile, Kundalata is watching, and she's jokingly teasing Krishna and saying, yes, yes, little boy. She's saying, yes, you're being treated like a little child by your mother. But she hints to Krishna in clever words that, you know, that Srimati Radharani is waiting to meet you. So then Krishna makes some understanding message back to her. And just then Nanda Maharaj comes, and he's full of fatherly affection. And Krishna, seeing now that all of his family are there, he says to them, he says, let me go and please my father. And so he gets up and he leaves the stage with all of his family. Only Kundalata remains. And then she sees from a distance Radharani and Lalita Devi are just arriving. And on the way, they're conversing about their meeting with Krishna. And in her bewilderment, Srimati Radharani, in the specific nature of this topmost love of Krishna, is that the gopis can never remember that they've met Krishna before. Each time they meet Krishna, it is like new, totally new. In this world we meet, and then after some time we get bored. But there they never, ever, ever have any satiation of their love. So Radharani is conversing with Kundalata and saying, do you think it will be possible that I can meet Krishna who I have never met before? And Kundalata is joking and teasing her. And then while they're speaking in this way very sweetly, Krishna enters. And there he is, and he's listening to the beautiful sound first of Lalita Devi's bangles, and then to Radharani's ankle bells, and suddenly Radharani is there. So Krishna is seeing that Radha is there. And he is very, very struck by her beauty. However, as soon as he comes to meet her, she becomes very shy, and she steps back and becomes very contrary. And just as Krishna is about to speak some very charming words to introduce himself and be very friendly, who should arrive on the scene? Jatila arrives on the scene. Ah, exactly. Oh no. And what is she thinking? She sees that Krishna is walking towards her daughter-in-law with a very strong mood of appreciation. And she says, you trickster. In Sanskrit, it is Maha Mohan. You who have made all the young girls in Gokul fall down from the principles of religion. You, only my saintly daughter-in-law, the bride of my saintly son, has so far escaped your clutches. So please spare us from even having to even once say your name. And she takes Radha by the arm and she exits. And out, Radha, Lalita and Jatila, they leave immediately. Krishna is left alone. He turns to Mother Mangal and he says, my beloved has gone. So now, let us go and find the cows. So Krishna and Mother Mangal exit. And this is the end of Act 1 of Lalita Madhava. Thank you. So tomorrow we will try to do two acts, Acts 2 and Act 3. If you, I'm very sorry for the rush and the inability to actually present the subject matter, but we will try and go through all of the acts of this play. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.